Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
What is up, CIU? You guys doing good? Okay, that was all right. I guess that's good for, what is it, 11:30? Are y'all all right? Y'all awake? Come on, CIU. Well, man, I want to give a big shout out to Kayla. Thank you so much to her and the rally team for inviting me out. I really appreciate it. I'm glad to be here. Can we give it up for the rally team, guys? Come on. And Coach, man, I just want to say thank you for sharing. I'd never met you before, but hearing your story, man, I relate to it. And I think this world needs to hear more stories like that of authenticity. I think a lot of times the older generation does a great job of sharing more scriptures than scars sometimes. And I think these younger generations need to know, man, that people have went through the fight, but we didn't come out stumbling. We came out standing up victorious with Jesus. So thanks so much for sharing, man. We need to hear that. I appreciate it. Give it up for Coach, guys. Come on. Well, CIU, I'm excited to be here. I am so pumped up. I know that y'all have had an exciting morning and y'all are probably ready for lunch, but can I just encourage you and challenge you to lean in a little bit? Can y'all lean in tonight while I'm speaking? Can you? Listen, let's kind of get this started right off the rip, okay? I know this is a laid-back crowd, but I just want to also challenge you to kind of channel your inner Pentecostal, you know? Maybe inner black gospel, there you go. You know, if I say something the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you're not going to scare me if you say amen, all right? Like, you can talk back, okay? If you've ever just wanted to go to black church, CIU is going to have black church today, all right? So y'all can, you can be responsive with me. I went to a Christian school. I went to Lee University. It took me 7 years, but hold on. I double majored, triple minored, but while I was there, I can't tell you how many chapel services I went to. And if I'm honest with you, I got to see a lot of times how chapel became a checklist. It became something that we had to do. I just want to ask that, what if today isn't something that you had to do? What if you got to hear a word from Jesus that changed your life? I'm learning more and more as I go on through life that where there is very seldom any expectation, there's very seldom any revelation. So I just want to challenge you to get your expectations up. Lean in. Ask God to speak to you. I'm just crazy enough to believe that this book, it wasn't a history lesson. I don't believe that it's dead. I believe that it's alive and it's active. I believe that this Bible is the only book that you read, but it also reads you. So as we're sharing today, I'm just crazy enough to believe that God can speak to you exactly where you're at. I know some of you may feel lost right now. What if you have an encounter with Jesus and you walk out of there and you're found today? You may have came in hopeless, but what if you meet Jesus today and you walk out and you're hopeful? I'm just crazy enough to believe that God has promises for us and he wants to speak to us, and I believe he's going to do it today. Whatever's on the God menu, man, I'm going to order it, and I want all of it. And I think he's got a lot of promises for us today, and he's going to speak. Now, listen, I want to start this off. I was in a text thread last week with a couple of my buddies from college, and they were sending this text, and one of my friends shared about this sociological study that took place. And it was a study where they got 50 people over the age of 95, and they gathered them and they asked them one question. They said, if you could do life all over again, what would you do differently? And this kind of caught my interest because I'm looking at this, and if they had asked a 13-year-old, I could care less what he has to say. I mean, let's be real. What's he going to do? Watch more TV, play more Xbox. Great, I get it, okay? But they're asking 95-year-old people, if you could go back and hit reset and be in high school, or if you could go back and be in college, what would you do differently in your life? And they had a lot of responses, but the overwhelming response to all of them was, if I could go back and I could do it again, I would take more risk. I would take more risk. They didn't say I would make more money. They didn't say I would have married a different person. They said, overall, if I could go back, I would take more risk. And this kind of started to bother me because I'm not old, but I mean, I'm getting up there, I'm 36, and I'm old enough to be able to look back and go, man, when I was 30 or when I was 25, I took a lot more risks than I did now. Like, I used to just be kind of like a daredevil, like wherever people were going, if it's a roller coaster, let's go. Y'all, we just had the fair, and I looked at some of those rides, and I'm like, there's no way. I don't know who made that. Like, who put that together? Like, I don't take risk anymore, like, period, you know? And that's probably wisdom, though, because I've seen the people that put that fair stuff together. It goes up in 2 days. Who does that? Chick-fil-A couldn't do that, and they're the best company in the world, you know? But, like, I don't take a lot of risk anymore. I play it safe. But when I actually break this down and I look at a lot of the great things that I have in my life, a lot of the great things I have in my life are because of a risky step that I took. Like, I think about my wife. My wife is incredible. We've been married for 6 years. We don't have kids yet, but we're practicing, and I believe God's gonna come through. Kim, don't tell my wife I called her out like that. But I'm so grateful. Like, I knew kinda that my wife was gonna say yes when I proposed, but listen, guys, I'm telling you, it is risky when you get down on one knee. Because you can be so sure, but when you get down, you're so vulnerable, you're like, oh my God, please don't embarrass me and turn me into a meme, okay? Like, just say yes, please. Like, it is so risky. I'm a sports guy, so I always think about like basketball, and everybody wants to be Kobe. Everybody wants to hit the game winner, or Jordan, or LeBron for you guys of this generation. For the record, Jordan's 10 times better than all of them. But, all right, older generation would agree with me, I guarantee it. But everybody wants to make the game winning shot, but nobody wants to take the risk to actually shoot the ball. And when it comes to following Jesus, this book is full of people who took risk. When I look at Peter, there's no way that he knows that if he can walk on water, if he doesn't take the risky step to actually get out of the boat. Everybody else was scared. Peter's like, are you kidding me? I'll take that risky step. He ends up being the only one in wet clothes because he was the only one crazy enough to take the risky step. When I look at David, David wouldn't have known he would be a rock star if he hadn't had the courage to go out there with his sling and his stone and hit Goliath. It's all about taking risks, guys. But I think we get too much hype out of taking a risk because I don't think we look at what happens if we don't take a risk. Because there's a cost to that too. How many of you know a guy named Michael Giamani? Does anybody know that name? No? Okay, let me ask you a different question. Have you ever heard of Michael Scott? Oh, everybody knows Michael Scott, right? Who plays Michael Scott? Steve Carell. You know Steve Carell because he took a risky step. You see, Michael Giamani is the guy they came to first and said, hey man, we've got this character. We've got this show that we're bringing to the States. It's gonna be amazing. Michael Giamani said, y'all are nuts. That's never gonna fly here. I'm not doing that. He missed out because he didn't take a risky step. Everybody knows the movie Forrest Gump. It's like America's movie, right? Who plays Forrest? Tom Hanks, everybody knows that. You know who was offered that before Tom? John Travolta. Tell me he couldn't have used that movie. But he looked at him and he said, that's not gonna happen. That movie's gonna be a flop. Now, I know y'all are younger, but there was a company when I was growing up, it was kind of the place to be on a Friday or Saturday night. It was a place called Blockbuster. Okay, there we go, there we go. Y'all are making me feel so good. I'm not as old as I thought. All right. But Blockbuster had a chance to buy a company that was up and coming for $50 million. And they didn't do it. They passed on it. They said, y'all want to stream movies? You want to stream TV shows? And y'all think I'm going to pay $50 million? Well, they didn't do it. Well, it turns out that company that they passed on is now worth over $25 billion, and their name is Netflix. And they actually put Blockbuster out of business. And it's all because Blockbuster said, that's too risky, I'm not gonna take that step. Well, CIU, I came this morning to ask you, what's the risky step that God's calling you to take? What's the risky next step that God has for you that he is pushing on your heart and he is inviting you to take? And I'm asking this to the entire room because I know chapels, all right? Some of you are in here and you're following Jesus wholeheartedly, but some of you are in here and you don't know Jesus. And some of you are professors that are in here. I'm talking to everybody because no matter who you are, if you are a follower of Jesus, you have a next step to take. Amen. Until you can come and stand side by side with Jesus and people mistake you, you've got growing to do. So everyone in this room, you guys can clap. Hey, let's have fun. Just practice. Clap. Come on. There you go. So good. Crazy. I love it. It's okay. I'm not in a golf swing, all right? You can do this. But we need you more than ever to take your next step with Christ, guys. I'm the college director for FCA. And I can't tell you how many funerals I've been to over the past year. It's been a lot. Our city is in need of hope. Our city is in need of young people stepping into their calling and living it out with everything that they've got. We need you living it out. I need you living out your calling. We need you to take your next right step. I look in this room and I'm so inspired. From the front to the back, because I see hope. I see so much potential in this room, guys. But it's not all about potential, because I can go to a graveyard and point to potential. I can go to a prison and point to potential. It's what are you gonna do with the potential? How are you gonna use it? I know this is a Christian school. You guys come in here and go to chapel, what, twice a week? You're taking in tons of information. But information doesn't lead to transformation. It's the application of that information that leads to transformation. I need you to actually step into what it is that God's doing. Take your next right step. Step into the plans that God has for you. We need you to step into it, guys. What's the next right step that God has for you? Can you identify where you're at? Can you identify you're here? Like, here's where I am, but there's where God wants me to be. Like, where's your here? Where's the place that you feel stuck, that you feel hopeless? Let's get real, okay? Is that okay? Can we get real in church? I mean, is it insecurity? Is it addiction? Is it drinking? Is it, man, I need to close my computer after 11 o'clock because the places I go are not helpful for me? Where's your here that has you trapped? Is it the relationship you're in? What's the thing that has you stuck that God's saying, I just need you to trust me so that you can take a step out of that and step closer to me? What is it that you need to take a step away from? You can leave it right here in this altar today. What is it that God's calling you to do? We're going to take a look at a story in Scripture. It's in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, if you've got your Bibles, go ahead and go there. Mark chapter 10, we're gonna be looking at verse 46 through 52. We're gonna be looking at a story about a man called Bartimaeus. And I believe we can pull some things out of this story that are gonna help you take your next right step with Jesus. Are you there? Mark chapter 10, verse 46 through 52. If you're there, say, I'm there. If you're not, say, hold up. Come on, now y'all see IU. It's the New Testament. I didn't say Habakkuk or something. Come on, let's go. Mark chapter 10, 46 through 52. It says, then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus was sitting on the side of the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet, many of the people yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, tell him to come here. So they called the blind man. Cheer up, they said. Come on, he's calling you. Bartimaeus threw his coat aside, jumped up, and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. My rabbi, the blind man said, I want to see. And Jesus said to him, go, for your faith has healed you. And instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. God, I pray right now for the next 10 or 15 minutes or however long we have that you would speak. I pray that you would use me, that you would get me out of the way. And God, I pray for the hearts in this room that they would receive. I pray against insecurity, fear, doubt, all of it has to flee. I pray for salvation in this room. I pray that you'd create a Genesis week where everything's brand new in this room. It's in your name we pray, amen. The first thing I think we've got to take notice about Bartimaeus is that he risked on Jesus' reputation. He was willing to risk on his reputation. Bartimaeus had never known Jesus. He didn't like actually meet him. He was blind, but he heard people talking that the Son of God was coming and he was passing by. And Bartimaeus said, listen, I don't know this guy, but I've heard about him and I've heard his reputation. I heard he turns water into wine. I heard that he can raise the dead. I heard that he causes the deaf to hear. And if he can do that for them, he can do that for me. CIU, you know that he can do that for you too, right? Some of you are here and you don't know Jesus at all. I want to challenge you to risk on his reputation. Because his reputation is spotless. His reputation is perfect. He's never failed anyone and he's not going to start with you today. And for those of you who are here and you're in this complacent state, you're just casual Christian, I just challenge that you would risk on his reputation that he's an everlasting fire that will never go out. And if my Father has an everlasting fire, we can have an everlasting fire in us for him that will never burn out. We get to risk on his reputation. You know, something else that stands out to me in this text is as I'm looking at this, I can't help but think Bartimaeus had to fight through some things to get to Jesus. Because he had been blind for a while. And all I think that he thinks in this situation is, what if I cry out to God and nothing changes? What if I cry out to God and nothing happens? What if I'm still blind? And some of you may be here today, and one of the reasons that you haven't chased after Jesus is because you're saying, well, what if nothing changes? What if I still struggle with the same things that I've always struggled with? Here's what I would say, risk on his reputation. Because it's perfect. It's perfect. Bartimaeus knew that not taking a risk was the biggest risk at all. And I would challenge you with that. Not taking your next step for Jesus is the biggest misstep that you could take. Because he's calling you into greater. He is ushering you into greater. He's urging you to step into more. And the choice is yours. CIU, he's passing by today. And how you respond is up to you. But I want to challenge you to take your next right step with Jesus. Because the only step that Jesus can't bless is the one you won't take. Take your next right step with Jesus today, guys. The second thing that I see in this story is that Bartimaeus didn't back down, he got louder. Now, I'm from Anderson, South Carolina, the big booming city in the upstate. You guys know where that is? Yeah? Okay, somebody's clapping. Thank you. I appreciate it. Well, I went to a high school called T.L. Hanna High School in Anderson, South Carolina. We're the home of radio. If you guys have y'all seen the movie Radio? Yeah. So the summer before my senior year, I was on the football team and basketball team, and they called all of us together, and they wanted us to go help with the Special Olympics. And I was like, are you kidding me? I'd love to go help at the Special Olympics. And then they told us radio was running. I'm like, well, I'm there. Because every time I scored a touchdown, when I came off the field, you know, like on the football field, you've got the box that the team has to stay in. Well, radio didn't have to stay in that box. They kind of let him do whatever he wants, okay? So whenever I came off the field and I scored a touchdown, radio would run up and chest bump me so hard, he would always knock me over every single time I scored a touchdown, which was 16, but who's counting? But, and he would always come up and he would celebrate with me. So I saw this as an opportunity to go back and celebrate with radio. So I'm at this Special Olympics and we're there and we're ready to cheer everybody on. And all of a sudden I see radio go to the starting block and he's doing all his stretches that he's seen us do and he's so excited. And I'm getting ready to stand up because I see him go into the blocks and I stand up and I say, radio, let's go, you can do it. Now, I'm gonna share this with y'all, but y'all gotta know I ain't no punk, all right? But what happened is when I said that, there was a guy that was two rows in front of me. I don't know what his problem was, but when I say he was big and country big. You know, there's a difference. I mean, this dude was big and country big. No exaggeration, I'm talking 6'7", maybe 320. Like, he stood up and he turned around and he looked at me and he said, "Boy," and now that's fighting words where I come from too. You gotta know that. My mama called me T, you gonna call me T. You don't call me boy, you know? And he turned around and he looked at me and he said, "You sit down." I said, "Man, what's your problem?" Ooh. "Yeah, you're right, I did. Ain't no punk." I about said, "Well, bust a move," you know, but I didn't want to get too crazy. But I said, "What's wrong with you? I'm cheering for radio." He said, "You either cheer for everybody or nobody." I said, "Man, what's going on?" And then, but when he talked, I noticed he didn't have any front teeth. Like, this guy looked like he had been in a couple of brawls, you know? So I sat down to kind of gather myself. I'm like, "Man, what am I gonna do?" And I turn around to look at my friends, and I'm looking around, and John, literally nobody made eye contact with me. Like, I'm looking at my friends and nobody, everybody's like, oh man, that's tough, T, that sucks for you. I'm like, what is going on? I'm like, y'all a bunch of Judases, just leave me hanging here. Like, nobody's looking at me. I'm like, okay, so I'm on my own, that's cool, all right. Well, radio gets in the block and he's about to take off running. And I said, "Listen, this isn't about this guy. Whatever happens, happens. I'm standing up." And I stood up again and I yelled for radio, and man, it was nuts. This guy stood up again, and I mean, I felt like he was taller this time. I don't know how it happened. And he looked at me and he said, "What did I tell you?" And I just ignored him. I said, "Let's go, radio!" And all of a sudden, one of my friends stood up beside me and he said, "Yeah, let's go, radio!" And he starts clapping. And I get so excited, and I literally deflected. I was like, "Yeah, you're cheering. There you go. Let's go. You're cheering for radio." And we both start cheering for radio. And before you know it, another friend stands up. And then another one. And before you know it, the entire side of the stadium is standing up, and we're cheering for radio. He did not win the race, but it was still a beautiful moment. Because in that moment, what I learned is sometimes you got to get louder about the things you really care for. So what is it today that you need to get louder about? For Bartimaeus, he stood up to cry out to Jesus, and everyone told him to be quiet. The scripture said everyone was telling him to hush. But Bartimaeus knew, I need Jesus more than I need their approval, so I'm going to Jesus. And I know in a college like this, where everybody wants to be cool and everybody wants to be liked, let me tell you, you need Jesus' approval more than you need these people. Because when the time comes and you're standing at the gate, it's Jesus that you're going to be confronted with, not these people. Amen. So what is it that you need to be loud about? What is it that you need Jesus to do in your life? Borrow courage from Bartimaeus. If he could do it, why can't you stand up and go, "God, this is what I need for you to do in my life. This is the next step you're calling me to take." And something else that I love about Bartimaeus, it said that he tossed his coat away as he got up to follow Jesus. You see, in this time, his coat was everything. His coat was his identity. You see, his coat gave him the right to sit on the side of the street and be a beggar. But Bartimaeus said, I'm not staying with this coat anymore. The things that have marked me, the things that were my identity, I'm throwing them to the side and I'm going after Jesus. In other words, Bartimaeus said, there is no plan B. It's Jesus or nothing for me, and I'm going after him. So my question for you is, what do you need to throw to the side so that you can go to Jesus? Because there's times in a chapel like this where you're trying to make a decision, but there's things that have labeled you that are holding you back. And you're thinking, how can I go to Jesus like this? You know, we don't get right and go to Jesus. We go to Jesus and he gets us right. So whatever it is that you're going through, whatever it is that has labeled you, borrow courage from me, borrow courage from Asher. Because I'm listening to your story and I'm going, my God, was he my brother? Like, there's so much. I've been arrested. I've been in so many fights. I've been told that I'm nothing. I was told when I graduated high school that I would never amount to nothing and I'd be dead or in jail within 3 years. I grew up in a single parent home. My dad was killed when I was 10 months old. I grew up just my mom. I grew up angry and bitter because I never felt loved, I never felt wanted, I never really felt cared for. So when I tell you there's a lot of things that I have to throw behind me to follow Jesus every single day, I get it, but it's worth it. Amen. Because I was a mess before Jesus, but now I'm his mess. That's a world of difference because he can turn it into a message. You know it. So what is it that you need to throw behind you today so that you can follow Jesus? Another thing, and this is the third point, is ask big. I love that Jesus literally asked Bartimaeus, what is it that you want? And he asked big, guys. I went to a small Christian school called Lee University in Cleveland, Tennessee. And I had a friend there, his name was Matt Warren. We had a big group of us that my freshman year, it's probably 30 of us that all hung out together. And I remember I had a bad weekend and I went to Matt and I was like, man, Matt, let's get out of Cleveland. Like, if you've been to Cleveland, there's nothing in Cleveland, all right? And I'm like, let's get out of here. Let's go somewhere. Let's go do something. Matt said, cool, man, I got you. He said, we're going to invite some people and we're going to go back home. Matt lived in Cincinnati. Now, I didn't know anything about Matt other than he's my good friend. I didn't know his home life. I didn't know what his parents did. But Matt took us back home to Cincinnati. We go there the first night, and y'all, when I tell you I went to his house and I was kind of in awe, like his neighbor had a helicopter launching pad in the backyard, you know what I mean? Like he was rich, rich. And I'm like, okay, this is different. Like you can fit 10 of my houses in your one house, so this is probably gonna be a fun weekend. That Friday, we went to their high school football game. They paid for us. They said, y'all, get whatever food you want. That next Saturday, we woke up. They said, hey guys, we're gonna go shopping. And I'm like, shopping? I ain't got no money. I just wanted to get away, bro. Like, what are you doing? Oh, and his parents said, oh no, don't worry about it. It's on us. They handed each of us $200 cash. Go get whatever you want. We went shopping. After shopping, they take us out to this expensive place to go eat lunch. It was some place in Cincinnati that kind of rotated up at the top and it was overlooking the city. It was so bougie, I wasn't used to it, you know? And but we had a great time. And then that night, we go out to dinner. Matt takes us to a Lifehouse, Michelle Branch, and The Calling concert. Most of you don't know who they are, but they were pretty popping back in the day. And we go to this concert. They paid for it. The next day, I thought, man, we're just going to wake up. We're going to go back to Cleveland. I am in love with this family. They took care of us. They said, hey, guys, we got a surprise for you. We're going to actually take you guys to the Cincinnati Bengals game. They paid for all of us to go to the Bengals game, and I'm talking about great seats. And I remember coming home and I'm going, if I can get this just from asking my friend, how much more can God give me if I really asked him? Yeah. Now y'all are clapping, but I want to challenge you to ask big. What is it that you're needing from God today? I think as Christians, we underestimate the power of our prayers and the power of asking Jesus. Because I truly believe sometimes the only prayers he can't answer are the ones we don't pray. What is it that you need to ask Jesus for? Where is your here and he's calling you to go here? What is it that you need to do? Why don't you ask him big? What has you stuck? What has you trapped, guys, that you need God to just help you take your next risky right step? What's your next step that you need to take for God? I don't know what it is for you, but I know in a room this big that there's something that God is calling you to do. What is it that he's calling you to do? You know, Bart thought that he was bound by his blindness, but he was literally only a breakthrough away from Jesus just by calling on him. What is it that you need to call on Jesus for today? What is the next right step that Jesus has for you? I just want to ask that you would identify where you're at and where he's trying to take you. Because, man, I get so much hope from being in a room like this. Every time I see people like this and this many young people, I can't help but think, man, if God changed the world with 12 disciples, what can he do if this entire chapel got on fire for him? Our city needs it. I meet with young college kids every single day, every single week, from USC to Benedict to Allen to Columbia College to here. And I'm telling you, if we could just focus in on who God is and what he's calling us to do, this city looks completely different. So take your next risky right step. But there's also another group. If you're here and you don't know Jesus and you've never committed your life to Christ, the best next step that you can take is into a personal relationship with Him. Amen. And I don't want to overstep and give you an opportunity now, but I tell you what, because I know we're running over time. But if you're here and you haven't given your life to Christ, don't leave without doing it. I'm here. Come find me. I'll be sitting right up front. I would love to lead you in a prayer so that you can give your life to Christ. But guys, whatever Jesus is calling you to do, and let's be clear, I'm not giving you a license to just go be reckless. I mean, make sure that it's Jesus. Make sure that it aligns with His word. Whatever it is, go do it, because we need you taking your next right risky step. CIU, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate y'all. I pray that we let what happened in here overflow out there. Come on. Thank you, guys.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.